I have one statement that Jesus made to his disciples that I'd like to share with you this afternoon. Beautiful statement. In John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Do you have a best friend? I hope you have a best friend. If you're married, I hope your spouse is your best friend. We all need a best friend. If you do have a best friend, I want you to think about that person for a moment. What makes that friend your best friend? There's a lot of things, right? You enjoy that person's company. You have fun together. You laugh. You connect with that person. You get that person. That person gets you. You can have deep, meaningful conversations. You talk about things with substance. You dream together. That best friend that you have is loyal to you. Loyalty is a big part of friendship, isn't it? Things may be going so bad for you, people deserting you, but your best friend will stay right there by your side. Years ago, a British publication once offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. Thousands of answers were received, but the winning definition read, "A friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out." That friend, that best friend of yours, is always there to help you, will sacrifice for you, will be there for you when needed. You can be yourself with that best friend. You can be honest. That person receives you and loves you unconditionally. A small boy defined a friend as someone who knows all about you and likes you just the same. Do you have a friend like that? A true best friend like that in your life? Some of you do. Maybe some of you don't. There might be some here who don't have a lot of friends and they're very lonely. Or maybe you have a lot of things going right for you in life, a great career, lots of money, but no friends. It is reported that Howard Hughes, when worth approximately $4 billion, said, "I'd give it all away for one good friend." Maybe you're a social butterfly. You bounce all over. You have many kinds of acquaintances and circles in which you run, but not the best friend. Not that true close friend. Well, I want you to know that the best friend possible is available to you, and his name is Jesus. He is the best friend that anybody could possibly have, and he wants to be your best friend. He's the best friend, and I say that because what he says in this verse and what he did to back up what he said. In this verse, Jesus said that the greatest measure of love is laying down one's life for another person. The greatest measure of friendship would be the one who would lay down his or her life for you. In other words, your best friend would be the one who would die for you. Your best friend, the one who loves you most, would be the one who exchanges his life for your life. That is the ultimate sacrifice, and that is the greatest measure of love. And I want you to know that Jesus did that for you. Jesus has laid down his life for us. Jesus laid down his life for me. Jesus laid down his life for you. When Jesus was here, he knew what he was doing. He said in Mark chapter 10, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." At the communion table, we remember how Jesus laid down his life. And we are told to remember the way he laid down his life. Think of how he laid down his life. First of all, he left heaven to become man, to come to this earth, to live amongst us in a fallen world. And then we consider what he suffered on that first Good Friday, 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. We remember how he was betrayed by one of his own in the garden, Judas, betraying him with a kiss on the cheek. We remember that he was arrested in the garden. We remember that the Jewish authorities that arrested him put him through a mock trial. We remember that he was beaten. He was spit upon. The scripture says his beard was plucked out. We remember that Jesus was handed over to the Romans and that they beat him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Jesus was lashed 39 times with a leather whip embedded with glass and metal on his bare back. We remember that the hands and feet of Jesus Christ were nailed to a wooden cross. We remember that Jesus died the worst kind of execution ever invented by mankind. His body was broken, his blood was shed. The crucifixion was designed to inflict maximum pain, to prolong death, and he experienced that. In fact, we have a word in our English language, excruciating. You ever heard that word? Excruciating pain. Literally, that comes from the Greek word, out of the cross. Excruciating. Jesus died like that. And he did that for you. He did that for me. He did that for us. Greater love has no one than one who would lay down his life for his friends. And then beyond the physical suffering that Jesus experienced and an actual physical death on the cross, beyond all that, his greatest suffering was spiritual. Please understand that. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross as a substitute for us. The Bible tells us exactly what's wrong with the human race: sin. We have all sinned and fallen short from the glory of God, and our sin separates us from a holy God. And we deserve judgment, punishment, death, condemnation because of our sin in order to save us. God sent his son Jesus. And in order to save us, Jesus voluntarily went to the cross and took all of my sins upon him. All of your sins, all of our sins. And it was during those 3 hours between noon and three that he was bearing our sins. He was experiencing punishment. On the cross, he would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did God turn his back on God the Son? Because he was bearing our sin. And the suffering of that, we will never, ever, ever be able to comprehend. The perfect Lamb of God, immersed in the cesspool of human depravity and sin. He did that for us. He laid down his life for you. And you might say, well, wait a minute, I live 2,000 years later. What do you mean he did that for you? Jesus saw you while dying for you. Jesus knows us all. He died and he laid down his life for you. Oh yeah, he is the best friend you could possibly have. No better friend than Jesus. Nobody loves you more than Jesus. And he wants to be your friend. Have you allowed him to become your friend? You say, well, how do I let Jesus become my best friend? Ask him. Ask him. See, he's very polite. He doesn't push himself into your circle. He doesn't force himself upon you. Jesus has died for you and rose again. He has paid the price for you. It's completely open, but he waits for us to invite him. If you want him as your Savior, as your Lord, as your best friend, not just in this life, but for all of eternity, then you need to ask him. You need to repent before him. You need to recognize that he died on the cross for your sins personally. Take it personally. Receive him into your life. Invite him in. Let the sacrifice that he made be applied to you personally. By faith, put your trust in him. The Bible says all of your sins will be forgiven. You'll become a child of God with the certain hope of heaven when you die. And you enter into a friendship with God like none other. You know, if you have Jesus in your life, you'll enjoy him. You'll laugh with him. He's there for you. You can have meaningful interaction and conversation with Jesus Christ. In your prayers, you're praying and talking to him. He speaks to you through his word. There's relationship. There's intimacy. Jesus will be your most loyal friend. Everyone else may abandon you, but Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you in all the hard times of this life, and I will take you into all of eternity. You can be brutally honest with Jesus as your best friend. You can tell him all your struggles, and he'll be honest with you. He'll tell you where you need to change, and he'll be there to help you change. If Jesus is your friend, if he's in your life, he transforms you. He saves you for all of eternity. Someone once asked evangelist Dwight Moody how he managed to remain so intimate in his relationship with Christ. He replied, and I quote, I have come to him as the best friend I have ever found. And I can trust him in that relationship. I have believed he is Savior. I have believed he is God. I have believed his atonement on the cross is mine. And I have come to him and submitted myself on my knees, surrendered everything to him, and got up and stood by his side as my friend. And there isn't any problem in my life, there isn't any uncertainty in my work, but I turn and I speak to him as naturally as to someone in the same room. And I have done it all these years because I trust Jesus. Do you have friendship with God like that? Listen, no one loves you more than Christ. No one. No one did more for you. No one is a better friend than Jesus. He proved it. Look at the sacrifice that he made for you. You're going to tell me that one of your friends would do the same? To the degree that Jesus did? Never. Let him save you. Let him be your best friend. In just a few moments, we are going to pass out the elements of communion. These elements represent how Jesus laid down his life for us. The bread, the juice represent his broken body, his shed blood. We're going to pass them all out. We're going to hold them in our hands. We're going to consider what they mean. And then we're going to take them together as a church. Now listen, if you're going to participate in this part of our service, you are acknowledging that you understand what these elements represent. You are taking these out of remembrance of what Jesus did for you personally. In taking these elements, you are saying that you have received what Christ has done for you. Taking these elements without knowing what they represent does you no good. And certainly taking these elements flippantly does you no good. You need to take these elements as one who has already placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And as a believer, remembering. Parent, I know we have the kids in today. Make sure they understand exactly what Christ has done. My little friends, my little brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus died for you and loves you and rose again. And if you've received him into your heart, I want you to take this morning, remembering. I'd like us all to bow our heads and close our eyes, and I'm going to ask those that will help me distribute to go ahead and come up front. Right now is a very holy moment on a very holy day, right in the middle of a very holy hour. Everything's paused. Most of us would be at work today, but right now we're here. Most of us would be at school today, but right now we're here. It's almost as if a giant finger has come down from heaven and pressed pause on the DVD player, the DVD of life, and here you are. Please contemplate what Jesus has done for you. Don't miss this moment. If you've never received Christ, if you've never asked him to be your Lord, your Savior, your best friend, I'm going to lead you in that prayer right now. I invite you personally, ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Just in this prayer, in this cry of your heart, say, Lord Jesus, be my best friend. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Your sacrifice for me is unfathomable. Thank you for washing away all my sins, for paying the price for me, for being my substitute. Right now I turn to you. I open my heart to you. Save me, forgive me. Fill me now with new life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone just stay seated in an atmosphere of reverence and an attitude of reverence and worship. We're going to pass these out. Hold them. And as you hold them, consider the sacrifice that was made for you. And then we're all going to partake together. Okay? loyal. You know us best and love us most. Lord, we were lost and you did what was necessary to bring us home. As awful as it was, Lord, you went through with the ultimate sacrifice. We worship you this morning. We surrender our lives to you afresh this day. I'll take that bread, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take.
Amen.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. When he comes. Jesus did die. On the cross, his body was placed in a tomb. But on the third day, he rose again.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to celebrate this Sunday. He is alive. He has defeated death. He has defeated the devil. He has defeated hell. He's defeated sin. So let's all stand to our feet. And let's close with a song of praise. Have a wonderful afternoon with your family, and this weekend I hope you have great time with your family. Tell them how much you love them. Spend time with one another. Enjoy the love of God.